All right, I think we're going to start, and we also have a moderator for everybody that's joining us. Welcome to the Q&A, January 11th. And so if you're joining us live, the moderator will tell you exactly how to do that, and if you've already joined us before, you know that a lot of people send in their questions ahead of time. So JJ and I go through the questions that were sent, a couple of them, then we give a chance if you're on a live call. Now, what happened the last time that we were here was that somebody decided that they didn't want to ask their call initially, and they waited, and they ended up waiting too long because we have so many questions to answer. So just jump right in. Don't be shy. If you have a question right when we start with the live moderator asking, just jump in.
Yeah, do not be shy here. That will not serve you. Besides, we don't know who you are anyway.
I know, and especially with some of these. I know all the questions that we ask that are asked ahead of time are anonymous, and people are talking about some pretty personal things. So I don't think there's anything JJ hasn't heard at this point from our community. But why don't we start off with number one? I'm going to tell you what number one is because I said you had already answered the first one here. I've been looking at tropicaltraditions.com, very impressed with their coconut products and health claims, saw a video of how to make coconut milk, as almost all has guar gum, a problem for gluten. Then there was mention of making kefir with coconut milk or coconut water. Sounds like a good source of probiotics. What do you think of kefir?
Kefir is, okay, so I'll tell you, this always becomes a story, but one of my girlfriends, another nutritionist, because we all hang together, was like, you got to make coconut kefir. I'm like, okay. So Donna Gates, who wrote the Body Ecology Diet, the bed diet, has a kefir starter on her website. So I'm like, perfect. I'll get that. I get it. I'm scared. I'm like too afraid to do it. I was like, oh my, But now I don't know if this, there is So Delicious makes kefir, so I was like cheated and bought their coconut milk kefir, but really you're supposed to make it out of coconut water. I actually went and got the fresh coconuts to do this, and you're supposed to make it with the green coconuts. I went to all this extent, and then I like looked at them for, you know, weeks, and I thought, oh, dumb. But honestly, kefir, right now in my book that I'm almost done with because we've got a deadline, I'm writing a whole bunch on fermented foods, and kefir is one of those foods that we really should be incorporating in our diet. You know, I think one of the reasons we have so many GI problems is because traditionally we used to eat all of these foods that had been soaked, that had been fermented, that, you know, we don't do it anymore. You know, we don't eat the ginger, kimchi, sauerkraut. We eat fakely fermented foods. So this would be an awesome thing to add in, and you can get that kefir starter and, you know, put on my Facebook fan page, you know, insult me about this because it's just ridiculous that I have the stuff and I haven't done it yet. I know.
To follow up the question, it says, here's a recipe that shows you can also make carbonate if you get a beverage akin to soda that can be flavored many ways. You can also get the probiotic benefits. You start with sugar water. But the kefir starter eats some of it, and you're left with fructose, but maybe not so much. I'm wondering if the sugar negates the probiotic benefit or if this would be a healthful food.
I don't make water kefir. I have no clue what the heck she's talking about here. Like, I wouldn't want to start with sugar water. I mean, yes, it's just like with when you make yogurt, yes, you eat some of the milk sugar. That's what you're doing. So I don't know, but I don't know, like, when you say you're left with fructose, well, if it's a couple grams of fructose, I mean, it's sort of like using an emergency packet, big deal. If it's 10, 20 grams of fructose, big deal. It is a big deal. So I don't know how much it is. You know, if it's 2-3 grams of fructose, at the end of it, you get the it's not just probiotics, prebiotics too. Benefits, cool. But if not, so I have no clue on that. I wish I was more intellectual on that stuff. My buddy Ed Bowman, who has a natural chef school up in Northern California, is really the king of that stuff.
So number three, what about goat's milk?
Okay.
And so goat's cheese. Anything goat related.
Let's talk goat and sheep. So here's the deal, and this is especially when you're pulling these things all out, and we just actually addressed how to deal with this in the book. When you go back to challenge, most of the time what we're reacting to is not goat or sheep because actually the protein molecule size is different. The way we handle it's different. Besides the whole, I mean, there's the H1, H2 cow issue and all of that. So there's a lot of differences between those, the proteins, and it's really the proteins that we're reacting to. First thing I would tell you is yank everything out, re-challenge just with cow's milk, even if you don't react to cow's milk. If you have acne, you have struggled with weight, it's just not going to be one of your better foods. If you can get raw dairy and you can get it cultured, fermented, okay, I can see some benefits there. But, you know, don't start drinking milk, even if you don't react to it. Bottom line there. However, for a lot of people, a little goat cheese, a little goat yogurt. Have you tried goat yogurt?
I haven't, but goat cheese is a favorite of mine.
I adore goat cheese, although it will break my face out too. So will feta. It just bums me out. Like, I react to all of it. However, goat's yogurt, I think, is possibly just for everything that goat's cheese is so delicious about. Somehow in yogurt, it's absolutely disgusting to me. It's like goaty. But some people like goaty yogurt. I just think it's like cool. But for a lot of people, what I would say is this, is you may not be able to do well with cow's milk, or even if you can do well with cow's milk, you're so much better off going to goat. And again, focus on things that have been fermented. So, you know, you're going to look at moving into yogurts, kefirs, cheeses, as opposed to milk.
Okay. Our moderator will now tell you if you're on the live call of how you can ask one of your questions. So if you would please go ahead. And we'll move on to the next question. I've had my gallbladder removed a year ago. Since then, I've had diarrhea from almost all stools. Sometimes I see a bit of food. Wonder if I'm not chewing enough or problems with malabsorption of nutrients. I did the transit test with Beets, and 27 hours so far have not seen red, so I guess that's good. I think transit time has increased since using the protein. My green smoothies almost daily, stirring coconut oil. Are there any other considerations I should be aware of when the cleanse as far as gallbladder issues?
Okay, so there's a couple things I would tell you. Let's just talk about transit time. So less than 20 hours or over 30 hours is problematic. Obviously, less than 20 hours, you're probably not absorbing the nutrients well. Over 30, they say, oh, then you're feeding the bad bacteria. So either one of those is not good. So that's the window you're looking for. When she's talking about beets, you can either, of course, we don't like to eat corn, so beets is the one we like to do it with, but you can either watch your stools for it coming back out. So are your stools looking a little red from the beets, or do you, you know, if you've gone through the period and you can have a little organic corn to challenge it that way, is it there? So I know everyone now loves to look at their stool, so that is the stool transit time so that you can know. Now, as far as what could help you, there's nothing you need to know about. What I would really work on is really being good with chewing well. Obviously, we all need to do that. I'm thinking I just like suck down lunch, so, you know, hypocrite. But, you know, chewing is obviously essential here. But the other thing I would say is there's a couple nutrients that you should really think about in terms of supporting good bile flow. So with anyone who's got their gallbladder removed, one of the supplements that I would really – there's two that I would look at that are really important for you. Number one is something called phosphatidylcholine. And probably you don't have these up on your store yet. I always do this to you during a call.
I know.
It's like, oh, there she goes again. Phosphatidylcholine is a great one. And it's also good for detoxifying, but what it's going to do is support the maintenance of healthy bile. So that's important. And I would be taking I would take one of those with each meal. Is a good way to do. It comes in a capsule. Of course, we do everything in capsules. And then the other thing that I would take is something called lipotropine. Gosh, I wish they would name their products differently. However, it's named that because it's a lipotropic formula, which means that it helps your body digest fat better. So that's what a lipotropic. In fact, lipotropics, what they mean is by lipotropic is it helps you with fat metabolism in the liver and preventing the accumulation of fat. Mm-hmm. It also helps with bile output. So that's what you're looking at when you're, you know, you want to make sure you're supporting that well if you now don't have your gallbladder. And some of the things that really help there, obviously, phosphatidylcholine was one that does that, but methionine, dandelion roots, another big one, burdock extract. So lipotrepine is a great formula. That's a compound formula. If you had to just choose one, that would be the one that I would do, and that's three a day. But if you could do both of those, even better. And also, I mean, those are just good. I've been seeing a lot, I tell you, Jackie, and I don't know if it's because people are drinking too much fluid with their meals, they're stressed out. Mm-hmm. gluten can do this big time, by the way. Is people are not absorbing, digesting their fats well. And, you know, that is just a mess because when you think of what we need fat for, you know, it's so interesting. We can live without carbohydrates, but we can't live without fat, protein, and water. Yet we've built a whole diet based on carbohydrates.
Whole grains.
I mean, it's like, what the hell? So, you know, but if you're not absorbing your fats well, you're going to have a lot of trouble with it. And, yes, there is that question. I know this question comes up later. If I'm not absorbing my fats well, would that be one of the reasons that my stools could be floating? There's actually a couple reasons for floaty stools, but the latest theory is that stools are floating not actually because of poor fat digestion. That's where you'll get, like, oiliness in the toilet bowl and skid marks. But
skid marks.
I'm glad you brought that up.
That's exactly what I would call them. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay. So, but the other thing is if they're floating, quite often we believe that that's a lot of that shows the gas produced from bacterial overgrowth, and that's probably more of why they're floaty. Okay. So if you feel like you're not having good fat digestion, which is like, well, how the heck do I know? Well, one of the things to look at is, you know, is your skin dry? Is your are your stools oily? That would be one sign. Obviously, you can test for it. But this would be a good thing to take to support that. And looking at a lot of stool tests, I will tell you that the things I see are poor protein digestion, poor fat digestion, classically. And one of the things gluten does is start screwing up fat digestion because it's hurting the microvilli of the small intestine and causing those problems. So even if you're not sensitive to gluten, and I just want to get this way out there, and I swear I'm going to go on a total rampage against gluten in the next 2 years. If you have not read that book, Wheat Belly, oh, my God. I think I
know we used to, we followed his blog for a while, and then he came out with a book, which is great. You know,
he
sort
is
of culminating
my hero.
Stuff he wrote. Yeah, he's
I
great.
I love him. And because you would read that book and you'd go, okay, forget it. I'm done. But one of the things that's really important in researching for my book, I was like, even if you're not reacting to gluten, if you're not one of the people who I would call gluten sensitive, say 30, 40% of the population, it's damaging. Gluten damages everybody because it triggers the release of protein in your small intestine called zonulin that loosens the tight junctions in your small intestine that can lead to leaky gut. It's going to impact you no matter what. So whether you don't feel any different cutting it out or not, it's still doing something in there. Just like, you know, you might not realize that you're glycating or you're creating a lot of oxidative stress because of the way that you're eating or exercising, but it's still happening, right? You just, it's a slow death instead of a fast hit.
Yep, absolutely. So is our moderator on yet? Hello? Okay, we're working on this on the back end, so we'll see what's going on. So the next question is, my husband is not supporting my ordering of all the supplements, but I have Dr. Furman's Gentle Care Multi, his Osteo, which is calcium, magnesium, vitamin D, and DHA oil, should that suffice? I also use transdermal magnesium oil spray on my body daily.
Okay, so here's the thing that I would tell you to look for in supplements, and hopefully you can put up that video from Mario on what to look for in supplements, because I'm not familiar specifically with all of Dr. Furman's products, but what you want to find out from a manufacturer is there magnesium stearate in their product? If there is, I would personally look for something else just because we know that what magnesium stearate does, it's a flow agent. It's used in a ton of different supplements. And I look for products, first of all, I like products that are sold through healthcare professionals, professional brand supplements. Secondly, which I'm assuming his probably are. And then secondly, I look for products that are in capsules. Thirdly, I look for products that do not contain magnesium stearate because as a flow agent, what this does, and there's a couple flow agents like this that help the product move through the machine quickly, but what they actually can do is bind up some of the nutrients so it's not as well absorbed or as bioavailable in the system, and I've got the research to show this. So you're just not getting as much of it, which, you know, Okay, so you just pay more and take more, but that seems kind of silly. Like, just don't use it. Mm-hmm. It's just cheaper to make products with that. So that's just something to be aware of there with it, and then you can make your own decisions on it. I did read a couple things, and I think it was in there about someone saying, you know, he says not to take iron, so I'm not taking it. Well, here's the thing with that I want to get out there with, and this is just information so you can make your best decision. Postmenopausal women, most, not all, postmenopausal women and men generally don't need iron. That's the general rule of thumb. Premenopausal women and children may need iron, and it shows up in a blood test, and you really need to have a total iron panel. But the other number I look at is ferritin, and if ferritin's low, I'm going to recommend based on that.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, if someone's got lower iron and they're postmenopausal woman or a man, you need to look past that to see if they've got something going on, like a GI bleed. Because they shouldn't have low iron unless maybe they're a vegetarian or something. But you don't want to have low iron any more than you want to have high iron. Both situations, and just like anything in your body, both areas are a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I also saw something on his site. Again, he was talking about don't take any beta carotene. Well, actually, the studies that talked about that, and we can get this up on the site. Oops. Let me get rid of that call. The studies on that actually were, they did a whole cohort where they looked at a lot of different studies, and they showed all-cause mortality increased with beta-carotene. That means if you took beta-carotene and walked across the street and died, getting hit by the car, it got factored in. If you were a smoker, it got factored in. So I actually disagree with that one as well. So, I mean, there's stuff to look at, and you know, one of these issues is it can get really complicated, but a lot of the research that they'll pull out doesn't really make sense when you start to look at it in light of everything. Of course, I always say start with food first, but there are things that nutrient-wise, therapeutically, you do definitely need to supplement. And I think everybody needs a good basic multivitamin, mineral, antioxidant, and essential fatty acid formula. I prefer people to take EPA, DHA, and GLA because they have different roles in the body. And I find that a lot of people might be getting enough EPA and DHA omega-3s just because they're eating fish 4 to 5 times a week. But they're deficient, or most people I see are supplementing with fish oils, but they're not taking GLA from either evening primrose or borage oil. And because of that, they actually get deficient in that.
Mm-hmm. So our moderator has joined us, so welcome. And she will now go ahead and tell you how you can ask any of your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this moment, if you have a question, please hit *0 so I may collect your name and place you right back onto the call. Once again, that is *0.
Okay, so we'll go through one more question, and then we'll see if anyone has any live questions. You just mentioned the floaters, and you answered that. So we'll move on to the next one. I thought I saw the mention of rebounding on JJ's site. I have a rebounder. I use it for aerobic exercise and lymph circulation. Am I correct in thinking this is something that JJ recommends? Please discuss.
Okay, so I see that it's good for detox but not for exercise. And, sorry, my dog is going crazy out there. One of the things I look at is with exercise, you want to get hot and sweaty. It should hurt a bit. And I remember back in college, Jackie, we used to do rebounding all the time because they told us it burned 100 calories every 10 minutes. Everyone would eat cookies and rebound in the sorority house. I was like, you know, and it wasn't working. But the thing is the rebounder's doing a lot of the work on there, not you, you know. So it's great for circulation, very good. So great for detoxification. But in terms of exercise, what I tell people to do in exercise is, number one, I want everyone to move more. That's where you should be wearing a pedometer, and we really should be moving an hour plus a day. And that's just part of what you should do. Then, and by the way, walking, moving, like I went and walked my little dog this morning while I was doing one of my conference calls, that does not count in as exercise. That's just what we should be doing because we are ambulatory creatures and we're supposed to be moving every day. In order for something to be counted as exercise, you should get hot, you should sweat a little bit, and it should hurt just a little bit. And so you ask yourself, like, I mean, I could rebound all day long. Have you done any rebounding?
I love it. I think it's fun.
Yeah, but, I mean, could you do it all day long?
It's fun. You can watch TV and rebound. It's so easy.
I know. It's like when someone says to me, well, I rode a horse. I'm like, great exercise for the horse. You know, and they're always upset with me, but my legs are sore. I'm like, they're sore, but you're doing isometric exercise. So rebounding is great for the lymph circulation, absolutely, for detoxification. You might have seen it somewhere in there on detox, but in terms of exercise, I think I have given you guys the 4x4 downloads, right? Like the JJ Fit Club?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. So use the 4x4. That's exercise. Rebound for detox, 4x4 for real workouts where you're doing cardio burst training combined with resistance training.
Yeah, and also we've mentioned in other calls that tennis is natural, the natural 4x4 workout, or many sports are the natural 4x4 workout. So if you're also engaging in, you know, some of the sports, some of the natural ways, you're also getting that same kind of workout. Correct?
Right.
So do we have any questions?
Yes, we do. The first question comes from Amy. Amy, go ahead, please.
Hi, Jackie and JJ. Thank you both so much for this stuff. It's fantastic. My question is about vitamin D. I just found out, strictly by accident, that I had a very low vitamin D count, and the doctor recommended ultra, ultra mega doses of D, and I don't like taking mega doses of anything. Do you have any experience with that?
What was your number?
15.
Oh, geez. And what did he recommend?
It was a she. Mm-hmm. It was a 50,000 units, one tablet a week for 9 weeks, and then, you know, back to a regular dose.
I'm way more afraid that you are that deficient in vitamin D than taking 50,000 IUs of vitamin D. Which is scarier, having the vitamin D deficiency that impacts every area of your health or taking 50,000 IUs of vitamin D?
Okay, so there's nothing wrong with this.
I want you just to think of it, because sometimes we get this idea in our head, oh, my gosh, I'm mega dosing. No, what's the scary thing here is not taking 50,000 IUs of vitamin D.
Okay.
The scary thing is walking around with a 15 ng per ml vitamin D level. So let me tell you a little bit about that, what things to look for so that everybody can hear this and you'll feel more comfortable with what you're going to do. Because you'll do that. And by the way, there's a couple different ways we get people up to level. So the first thing that we do is we're going to run a lab on you, 25-hydroxy vitamin D, for anyone listening. That's what you should ask your doctor for. Everybody needs to do this. I just had mine run. I was 70. The ideal is 60 to 70 NGs per ml. Now, if we find you below that 60, depending on where you are, and if you're very low, like let's say 30 or less, generally the dosing rule of thumb is either 50,000 IUs once a week or 10,000 IUs daily for 2 to 3 months, and then you retest. Depending on where your levels are when you retest and where you live and your sun exposure, you will go on some type of maintenance dose, anywhere from 2 to 5,000 IUs a day. This is a very scary nutrient to be deficient in, because it sits at the top of your hormone cascade. Not only is it critical for bone health, but it's critical for brain health, insulin metabolism, GI health. It's been linked with dementia. It's big. It's really critical. There's another important thing to look at with vitamin D, and it's just something I learned in the last couple months that really upset me, actually, because I started wondering if this was one of the reasons I was finding so many people were having issues with nutrients, is that most of the vitamin D out there is actually made, the crystalline vitamin D is actually made with lactose when it's being formulated. Wait a minute. 75% of people in the world, 25% in the U.S., are lactose intolerant. And mm-hmm. We're making vitamin. It's like, are you kidding? So I know that the Thorne Research vitamin D does not, and they have a 50,000 IU dose, is not made with lactose. I can't vouch for any of the other ones. And unless you can get the C of A that they have from the raw manufacturer, you don't know, because most of the raws, when it says crystalline vitamin D, is actually made with I'm sorry, my PR agent keeps going, you have to be on TV right now on this. I'm like, go away. But most of it, the way they manufacture is they combine the vitamin D with the lactose and becomes crystalline vitamin D, and all they have to say on the label is crystalline vitamin D. So it's really a kind of crappy situation. So you need to know that. But what she had you do there is absolutely textbook perfect. And I got to tell you, in terms of mega dosing, I look at a lot of nutrient tests. It is so rare to see someone overdosing on anything. It is so common to see people with not enough nutrients. We have a, you know, here we are in the richest country in the world, and most of us are malnourished. I'm so much more scared of being malnourished than overnourished. I'm trying to think of the last person I saw that was too high in something. It just doesn't, it rarely happens. You know, you get the occasional person who doesn't know they shouldn't be taking iron, and they're taking, you know, an iron in a multi, but mm-hmm. It's pretty rare at this point.
Well, thank you for your question. Did you have any other questions, follow-up, or?
Do I assume that if it's a prescription that it's not, that it's lactose-free, or should I check, or should I just take the prescription and not worry about it?
I don't know. How do you respond to lactose?
Not particularly badly.
You know, I mean, it's once a week. It's a minuscule amount if you're not lactose intolerant. If it, you know, I would be fine for the next 2 months, but if you're going to be out long-term, I would worry about it.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any other questions?
At this moment, there are no further questions.
Great. The next question, because two people wrote this in very last minute, I just was past this. They both had headaches on day two. Is it just withdrawal, or is it normal, or, you know, what's going on there?
And this is what I don't know from them. The big reason someone's going to see headaches on this is generally because they were eating a higher carbohydrate diet and were reducing down to a much lower carbohydrate diet. And their body's adjusting from burning more sugar for fuel to burning fat for fuel. And so they'll initially get some headaches and stuff.
Okay, and one person had them worse in the evening, same.
It's probably more related to, blood sugar. That's where if you need to, use a little fruit.
Okay.
You know, that's where I tell people, if you've been eating, and that's where tracking your diet becomes so important, Jackie. Like, I find with so many people when I start to look at their diet recall, they thought they were eating like a pretty balanced diet or a lower carbohydrate mm-hmm. diet, and all of a sudden they go, I'll look at their diet, it's like 70% carbs.
Mm-hmm.
And they are not.
And not vegetable, and not necessarily the, you know,
well, I mean,
kale.
If you were eating 70% carbs and it was all from non-starchy vegetables, you would be mm-hmm. eating all day long, you
right.
know? I mean,
yeah.
Like, are you kidding? So, you know, most people I see, they're eating like four pieces of fruit and then fruit-sweetened yogurt and a granola bar and a muffin, and you're looking at it going, oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
And so their body, their blood sugar's rising higher, their insulin's up, and so they're burning sugar for fuel. And now
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden you're going to go, boom, let's drop that down. And the flip doesn't just switch. It says, okay, now we can access stored fat for fuel. All of a sudden your body goes, where's my blood sugar?
Mm-hmm.
Where's the sugar to my brain? Wait a minute. And so you'll get a little bit of headache. Or the other time you'll get a headache is if you were doing a lot of caffeine and you just went, and I tell people never to do this, is they just, you know, go, okay, no more caffeine. So, you know, same thing with either of these situations. If you look at your diet and you go, wow, he's eating a lot of carbohydrates, taper down. And if you were mm-hmm. eating, drinking a lot of caffeine and now you're switching over, taper down. And then you'll avoid a lot of this. Or, you know, if you're okay and you've got an easy week, just you know where it's coming from.
Mm-hmm. The next question, another comment from my husband, and you've answered this before, but you were all about reducing animal protein, peer trainer. It was all, well, the comment from my husband to her, to the wife. You were all about reducing animal protein according to Dr. Furman, but now this cleanse calls for a lot of animal protein. I saw the rationale for protein in some of the cleanse information, but Dr. Furman's concern was cancer and osteoporosis mostly, as I recall. Also, post-cleanse, does JJ recommend maintaining such high levels of animal protein? I would like to reconcile these two ways of thinking about protein.
I know. It seems like we're coming from opposite ends of the spectrum. What I would tell you to do with this is my advice would be, number one, there's just as much information to back up low-protein diets and osteoporosis. There's actually some really interesting stuff about that. And actually, the research I've seen shows the opposite, that people who eat a higher-protein diet have lower incidence of osteoporosis. I'm more concerned about grains in terms of osteoporosis because of the acid load of them and dairy. Okay, those are the two big, and sodas, my goodness. So, and stress. Okay,
yeah.
I'm going to start listening.
That's
but
fine.
Actually, I'm going to disagree with that because the research is different. I still am going to question this whole issue with when I look at cancer. I think cancer is really a disease of, yes, you have maybe the genetic propensity towards it, but clearly look at how our cancer risks are increasing, so something's flipping the switch. And I think it's stress, and toxins and insulin. Those are what I think is doing it. And so one of the places you could get toxins is in our crappy meat supply. So, you know, you really have to look not just at you are what you eat, but you are what you eat ate. I don't believe that this is a high animal protein diet. I think this is a balanced. I think this is an optimal animal protein diet, and I'm basing that based on research from Lauren Cordain of the Paleo Diet, Mark Sisson of the Primal Blueprint, Boyd Eaton, the Price Pottinger Foundation. If you look at, read the book Nourishing Traditions, all these places over and over and over again. And I got completely obsessed with paleo nutrition. I mean, it was like spent a year just studying that. And the issue is we don't live in a Paleolithic world anymore. So if you look at how we ate Paleolithically, we had very clean, lean animal protein. We ate lots of fat. That, one of the things, I mean, maybe we got 30% of our calories from clean, lean animal protein, but we ate anywhere from 40 to 60% fat diet. Carbohydrates varied by the season, obviously more in the summer, less in the winter. And so it was, you know, fruit that hadn't been genetically modified to be sweet and vegetables and nuts and seeds and clean, lean animal protein because it had to be lean because it wasn't being stuck in a pen and shot up with hormones. So I don't view this when you look back at what paleolithically we were eating as a high protein diet. The other thing I would ask you just to look at, and this is what I've had the opportunity to do, which has been just fantastic over the last 10 years. I've been really studying paleo nutrition for the last 15. Over the last 10 years, I've had the opportunity to move a lot of people over into what I call a paleo plus diet because I still want to take advantage of I really like legumes. Yes, they've got phytates and lectins, but let's soak the heck out of them and then use them. I'm not a big grain fan, although I will do a little quinoa. So I tend to do like 2 pieces of fruit a day, loads of non-starchy vegetables, 5 to 10 servings, 10 being better, lots of healthy fats. That's where I crank it up, clean, lean protein. And then the plus side would be things like quinoa and legumes. What I see when I transfer people from either a vegetarian, a vegan diet, or even a normal diet is their LDLs go down, their triglycerides go down, their HDLs. If they've been on a vegan or vegetarian, those tend to have been okay. Other diets, they get better. Their glucose and insulin gets better. So everything gets better when I do this. They lose body fat. They are able to build muscle. So I guess part of the question is, besides doing your own research and looking at all the perspectives to make up your decision, because you could put 10 of us in a room, we'd probably get in a fist fight, but we'd all argue our position, you'd walk out more confused than ever, is look at the research, and especially two great books are The Paleo Diet and The Primal Blueprint. Paleo Diet by Lauren Cordain, Primal Blueprint by Mark Sisson. But just ask yourself, how do you feel? Because I've yet to see someone that I've moved into this type of diet off of everything from just the normal crappy American diet to a vegan diet, from a vegetarian diet, you know. I've yet to see someone who hasn't told me, oh, my gosh, I feel so much better.
Well, I think it's also important.
Anybody.
Yeah, and my personal experience, because I was eating at least 80% vegetables, and I was eating a much lower animal protein diet. Just to give you a little perspective again, you know, we all know Dr. Furman was an Olympic athlete. He's still very much an athlete. He has tons of energy. He feels really good. But when he goes out to a restaurant or when he's at home, he makes a triple serving of salad. You can't even imagine how big his salad is. It's so big that I've never actually seen anyone else that I've worked with have anything even close to that. He loads it with beans and seeds and nuts and so many things. It literally looks like something that's 3 times the size of what most people are sitting down and eating. And so for him, he tends to be very satisfied because he has so many things going on there. There's so much vegetables, so much beans, so much seeds. Now, you have to look at what you're doing. If you are making a, for lack of better words, a normal salad, the chances that you're going to feel full if you're not putting loads of beans, loads of seeds, loads of nuts and all those things in and satisfied, it's sort of what JJ is saying, are very low. So it really depends on what you're going to do for your own lifestyle. And what I've seen has been easier for people on Peer Trainer is that they do put the animal protein in there, because what's happening is that they're feeling more satisfied because they're not going to go to those levels of constantly eating all these seeds, all these beans, all this vegetables all the time. So just to underscore again what JJ is saying is, really notice how you're feeling. And one thing, JJ, I love that you say is that it's really not this bank account. It's a chemistry lab. And you do have to go in the ways that you feel. I have more energy now that I eat, you know, a little bit more salmon, a little bit more grilled chicken. It works a lot better for me. So just really pay attention to how you feel.
Well, and it also is, you know, and this is where I found this out through default. I've been a vegan, a vegetarian. I've done macrobiotics. I mean, you name it, I've, like, done it, right? And I've done my own genetics to see what my best diet is. Now, genetically, there were no vegetarians in the wild. They would have died of nutrient deficiencies. We know that. That's clear. But genetically, I do better on a lower carbohydrate diet. There's no way to eat that low of a animal protein diet and not eat a high carbohydrate diet. And understand, if you're eating a high, because you can't eat a low, low, low diet. You know, it can't be, there's no such thing as the 30-30-30 diet or the 10-10-10, right? It has to all equal up to 100%. So if you're eating a high plant-based diet, sorry, but, you know, spinach isn't high in protein. It's high in carbs. It's got teensy bits of protein. Beans are not high in protein. They're high in carbs. Nuts are not high in protein. They're high in fat. You can't have something that's 80% fat be 80% protein. It's just math, right?
Yeah. So if you look at, if you do look at the way, if you really dig into the way Furman eats, he's eating about 30% protein per meal. But that's what I'm trying to say is his portion sizes are huge. And that's what I'm trying.
I wonder if they really are, though. My guess is it's a little lower than that because you can't get, if he's eating it from nuts and beans, it's not possible. Because if you look at the percentages, right, with nuts being 10 to 20% from protein and beans, I'd have to look at it. It depends on the beans. Lentils are way higher. But they're still not 100% protein. They're not 50% protein, right? So when you start to look at this, you realize that you're going to get a much higher carbohydrate load. And if you're getting a much higher carbohydrate load, it may work if you're hugely athletic, although it'll be harder for you to hold on to and build muscle. But if you're not, it's going to drive up sugar and it's going to drive up insulin. It's going to make it harder for you to burn off fat, right? So.
Yeah, and I do think for many people, for example, like Rip Esselstyn will eat like that. But again, he's eating ridiculously large portion sizes. And when I say ridiculously, not ridiculous for him. I'm saying most of these people that are not out training for Ironmans or doing this stuff, they're just not eating when you try to go all plant-based, many people end up supplementing with so much fruit, so many other things, because they're not eating the types of portion sizes of these kinds of things that would ever make them feel satisfied. Because what's happening, I see a lot, is that people just want to be satisfied. They just want to feel good. And so when they're eating something and they don't feel good, they say, oh, I got to have something else. I have to
eat chocolate. You want to eat more. It's like, just eat the damn cookie. You know?
Right. Exactly. And what I've seen from some of your recommendations for people on Peer Trainer and people beyond is that it gives them a way to feel a lot more satisfied. You're still eating these great vegetables and you're still focused on the nutrients.
Yeah, and believe me, like, I want you following. I love Dr. Furman's recommendations, man. Eat more vegetables. Are you kidding?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, please do that. Do that big time. That is one of the, when I go and speak, and so often I'm speaking at medical conferences, so I mean, these are people, and they're the integrated conferences, people are really trying hard. It's like none of us are getting enough vegetables in. Everybody needs to eat more vegetables across the board. So,
I'm going to reiterate it to this group too. Someone in the last cleanse was really unsatisfied by day 6, and she just said, I'm just so hungry. I'm just so hungry. I can't deal. And it turned out she was really portion controlling the protein, portion controlling the fat, portion controlling the vegetables, even not as much as JJ was recommending. And I said, you know what, just today, just go out and eat. In the same category groups we're talking about, load up on the vegetables, eat a little bit more avocado, eat a bigger version of protein, and suddenly she
just watch the carbs. Don't watch the rest.
Right. And she said, she came home and she says, oh, I'm not hungry anymore. I didn't understand. And so, again, the most important, the key concept here is really pay attention how you feel. It's got to fit with you. And when you start to experiment a little bit with this stuff and do look at it like that lab, you do start to see, well, okay, I get lots of energy from here, and you're going to want to keep doing that more.
And, you know, I want to say one more thing because you just brought up something so key, and it's really interesting. You know how you can eat a box of cereal and then you're not full?
You would want. I couldn't. When I used to eat cereal, I would eat half the box. Oh,
yeah.
And I would have wanted more. Please give me a bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich now. Exactly.
Right, but if you eat a bag of nuts, you're like full for the whole day. You're like, forget it. I don't even want. There's no. When you eat fat and protein and fiber, it's gonna fill you up. You could eat Captain Crunch forever, and it's never gonna do it.
Right.
So just be aware of that. You know, feel free. First of all, go crazy on the non-starchy vegetables. Never limit yourself there. If you're going to eat a little bit more, have a little more protein. It's very satiating. It's not going to create a problem. There was this study that just drove me crazy. I was talking to my writer going, put this on Huffington Post now, please. Because they just did this study where they overfed people to see how much weight they would gain. And it was like, I think, a 6 or 8 week study where these people volunteered to be in a place and live and get overfed. I'm like, who would volunteer for this? And I know people. So they fed them either low protein, medium protein, or high protein diets. And I guess they all gained the same amount of weight. And they were going, oh, see, everybody gained the same amount of weight. But the interesting thing was how they gained it was totally different. They said, in fact, we noticed at first the high protein diet seemed to be gaining a little more weight because they were increasing their lean body mass while the other people, because no one was allowed to exercise during this time, the low protein diet people lost muscle mass. I'm going, wait a minute, you're telling me, and they showed the difference, and it was significant difference between the low protein and the high protein. High protein gained muscle mass. Low protein lost it. And they're going, see, everybody gained weight the same. I'm like, no, they didn't. No, they didn't. I mean, what a difference that makes, you know?
Well, especially lean muscle, you can't say that's the same. It's not.
Oh, I know. I mean, that's just like, oh, it's a step that makes me insane. Anyway.
Yeah. So I think, and I think we've answered that question and we can move on. And I'm sure it'll come up again and we'll continue this discussion because I know that people are extremely interested in it. The next one, what is it about this cleanse that makes the body give up the stored toxins so that the protein can escort them out? I know you talked about that in your initial.
Well, when you look at, there's two phases of detoxification, phase one, phase two. Gosh, we can put the whole, did I send you guys the chart to put up?
And this wasn't the first, this information has been accessed, but we'll do that. We'll do that too.
Okay, so there's a really cool chart. It's like you're looking and go, oh, come on, please. But it takes you through everything you need to go through phase one, which is basically freeing up the toxins that, you know, our body, when we get toxins, which we get in every day, you know, part of looking at detoxification is you want to do two different things. Number one thing you want to do is reduce your exposure. Anywhere where you can possibly reduce your exposure, right? But the number two thing is you want to get these puppies out. And the thing is, you know, every day we're getting toxins in and getting toxins out, right? But let's face it, our pathways were never designed to handle the load we have now. Like our pathways were designed, gosh, hundreds of thousands of years ago. So, and now we have all these, I mean, look what's just happened over the last 50 years with all the genetically modified foods. Horrid. And by the way, aside with genetically modified foods, another reason you want to avoid them is they've been chemically engineered or genetically engineered so that they can withstand way higher pesticide spraying. I mean, how ridiculous is that? So anyway, so we're being assaulted by way more toxins now, which means we can't get rid of all of them, which is a huge thing. So they got to go somewhere, and they store. They love fat. They store in fat, basically organs and neural tissue. And fat especially, and that's one of the reasons we know that this is an area of weight loss resistance because our body will store in our fat and then it will hold on to it because if we start to lose fat, we free everything up, right? So the bottom line is we first need to free them up and then we need to get them out. And in order to get out, a lot of people have good what we call phase one nutrients. And what I tell people is, you know, and that's why this whole idea of doing these master cleanses with maple syrup and cayenne pepper and lemon juice is so ridiculous, and fasting. The whole detoxification process, phase one, phase two, is very nutrient dense. It's not a time to say, hey, do nothing. Turns out things like juice cleanses, fasts, all that kind of stuff speed up this phase one. And for a lot of people, phase one works fine. It's the phase two, get them out phase. That's the problem area. And the issue is if you speed up phase one and then you don't have a commensurate increase in phase two, you free up the toxins in your body, but they can't leave.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is you create a lot of oxidative stress, and they're roaming around your body. It's better off to leave them in place than to get them out of the fat cells and then not get them out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
the thing that takes them out is protein. Phase two is amino acid dependent. You don't have enough amino acids, you slow down phase two. In fact, we know that juice cleanses and fasts slow down, if not shut off, phase two.
Mm-hmm.
So protein. Clean protein, animal protein.
Another quick question that was just passed in front of me. The instructions say to take BioJust digestive enzyme 1 to 2 with each meal, not necessary for the shake. Am I assuming I just take it once per day with one meal, correct? What does this do for me? I'm asking so I can decide if I should take 1 or 2.
Okay, wait a minute. Say this all again.
One more question. The instructions say take the BioJust digestive enzyme, quote, unquote, 1 to 2 with each meal, parens, not necessary for the shake meal.
Okay.
So I'm assuming I just take it once per day with my one meal, correct? What does this do for me? I'm asking so I can decide if I should take 1 or 2.
We'll start with 1 and see how you feel. The way I generally dose enzymes is I have people take 1, and if they don't notice anything, take 2, and I'd like you to titrate up. You're going to need anywhere from 1 to 3 of those with a meal. And generally, you'll know you've overdone it because you'll have the mildest discomfort, which means you've got too much. And then you back down 1.
Okay.
Great. Okay? That's the way you do it.
Perfect. Okay. And just to jump in, do we have any other live calls before we go to the next question?
There are no further questions.
Okay, great. The next question we have is, when I started out on Dr. Furman's plan several years ago, my hair started falling out, and we don't really know what the plan in execution versus the plan, it can be completely varied. Could that have been from not getting enough protein? My dermatologist said I had borderline low ferritin, wanted me to take iron, but hemoglobin was good. Dr. F always cautioned about not taking iron, toxic, so I didn't take it. Anyway, my hair is still thin after several years and falls out too much. Any thoughts? I sure hope it will grow again. By the way, I'm 55, and the dermatologist didn't think it was a male pattern type.
Okay, so here's what I don't know. Is this the man?
You know what? Unfortunately, I don't know either.
Okay, so let's talk about all things. That's the problem. It's like man or woman, very different.
Yeah, I didn't know either. The last thing when they said male pattern type, suddenly
I'm thinking it's a guy. Okay, so here's the thing with these questions, the more info, the better, everybody. So give us as much information as possible, because it's so different if it's a man versus a woman. And so that's the first thing that I would say, because if it's a man, I got to tell you, first off, if it's a man, I would do a total iron panel and look at that. And I would look, it's so rare for a man to have low serum ferritin, so I would dig deeper onto that one, and I think you need to investigate that. And if it's a man also, you know, I don't know if at, let's see, she's 55 now, I don't know if you were eating a lot of red meat and then when you went on Dr. Furman's plan you didn't. So I'm kind of struggling here because I don't know if you've done something now, like put soy into your diet. I don't know what all has shifted, okay? Because with a man, what would we look at? We'd look at something shifting with your testosterone metabolism, which you can go to your doctor, and this is where we've got now that doctor referral network we're building, where they could look at your testosterone metabolism to see if there's been a shift there that's impacting your DHT and causing your hair to fall out, or if it's a nutrient deficiency, that if you moved into a more vegetarian diet and your B vitamins went down, maybe that caused it. So you could look at it there. If it's a woman, stress is like the key one there, nutrient deficiencies there too, low protein levels. So there's just too much here I don't know, unfortunately.
Okay.
The biggest one being, I don't know if you're a man or a woman.
So if you're listening to the Q&A, write us back so there's a little bit more information that we can get, and then we can go from there. Next question.
Hey,
here's
the
one.
Way, what we can do is if the person wants to write in and be very clear about it, I've got a woman who specializes in hair loss, so we can have talk about it, or
great.
I can bring one of my men on, and we could just have them answer the question in writing, okay?
Perfect. Next one here is for JJ. It's all about poops. I'm getting right to the point. They're usually more greenish from all the spinach I eat in my smoothies and well-formed of a fibrous consistency. Since I've been on the cleanse, they float. They are much more, well, sort of slimy, tar-like. Is this because of trapped toxins just now coming out, or is something else going on? I know it's gross, but I'm very curious. Thanks.
Okay, so here's the other thing I always need to know from you guys, too. Like, I don't know. I'm hoping that most of you are getting the Cleanse Deluxe package, the Plus. So I don't know if you're taking Berber caps and probiotics or not.
You know, a lot of people are not. A lot
Come
of people
on.
Do, and a lot of people do, and a lot of people don't. So I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's the information I don't know. I would really, I can't emphasize enough, honestly, and that's why we put it together to be a better deal.
Yes.
Because we really wanted to motivate people to do the Plus.
Yes.
Do the Plus. It, you know, that's the better one. The only reason we have the kits separate from the actual cleanse is for our out-of-the-country people who don't have a choice. But we have two choices, the basic or the plus, and we really put it together and entice you to do the plus. So,
and if you want to do the plus right now, if you're listening, we do have that in shop.puretrainer.com. We just call it plus. It's also GI support. This is what we're talking about here. And you can just upgrade, just order that if that's something that you need to do.
Okay. So because what I don't know here is – yes, it can be some of the stuff, and what we say is better out than in. I mean, some of the things that can happen as you start to detoxify, especially, you know, because you're using the detox powder, and I know now we're going to start moving into people who want to do more intense the detox cleanse powder, and also you're using the detox packets now. And as you're using these products that help improve phase one and phase two detoxification, you're pushing toxins out. And when you push toxins out, you're going to pee them out, poop them out, sweat them out, right? So what generally you'll see is, I know when I the first time I ever started detoxing, I got like lumpy zits. I was really like, you know, but where I'd never gotten them before, like on my jawline, it was really bizarre. A lot of people will get rashes across their belly.
Mm-hmm.
Or they will.
My husband has gotten that.
Yeah.
My husband got that right almost where the intestine is. So it was
interesting. And that's
know.
What I see is people get abdominal rashes, acne, those are key, and weird poops. And that's just because we're getting the stuff out. If you're using things like Berber caps, there's all sorts of stuff you might see in there because it's killing off the microbes. So poops can get very interesting, right?
Mm-hmm.
So most likely what you're going to see here is, yes, stuff's coming out of your poop. And again, the more of these things you're using, the more you might see in your poop because you're getting stuff out, and that's one of the best ways we eliminate.
Okay, you'll never guess. I was just passed this by our staff. I'm the one with the hair loss question. She's a woman.
All right. So what we can do with the hair loss woman is, okay, so is she on the phone or has she got more
information? No, she's asking how she can call in, and the instructions are there, so hopefully she'll join us. But we can't dial her actually in. She has to dial.
Okay, if not, if for some reason you don't get in, hair loss woman, what we can do for you is my girlfriend, Dr. Eva Quinar, who is an amazing endocrinologist, who's actually developed an incredible hair loss formula and works with women's hair loss, can discuss with you. But, I mean, I would tell you if you're a woman, you're not bleeding right now, but you're low serum ferritin and maybe your protein's low. I don't know what your diet was like before. I'm hoping you're getting on the phone. So you can give us
okay. So hopefully, and let's ask our moderator if anyone has a question. So maybe she dialed in.
Okay, you do have another question from Amy. Amy, go ahead, please.
Hi, I'm sorry, ladies, but it seems like I'm the only one asking questions. But I think there were other people interested in this, too. It's a little premature, but will you give us some guidance about how to, as we finish up this cleanse, move on to a next phase, and what would that involve?
Yeah, that's class three. It's a long class, and JJ goes step by step by step, including a sustain package for after you have moved through the detox. It's very detailed, and it's all class three. So that class three happens, you know, you had class one was on Monday. Next Monday you have class two, and so, you know, then you're talking, you've now gone through your 2 weeks, and then class three actually starts at the end, you know, that following Monday. So you've gone a full 2 weeks with the cleanse.
Okay, thank you.
Absolutely. So the next question we have, and, you know, I'll stop in a few minutes. Hopefully the hair loss woman will call in. Jackie and JJ, this is so great. I'm in my second week of cleansing. I joined your December 5th cleanse but didn't start myself until December 28th. I didn't know life could be this good. I actually feel quite full after the meals. I can go 4 to 6 hours without a binge panic sensation. I've had a lot of people write us and say that, JJ. When I do get hungry.
I believe dairy and gluten are making us binge. There are triggers in there. There are drugs, and that's what I think is going on.
And I think a lot of people also take it seriously. Like, they have a real breakfast. They don't just grab something and
everything.
Then.
I will tell you, yesterday I got off track with my eating. Like, I eat three meals, sometimes I'll have a snack. And for some reason yesterday, I guess I was just trying to just kind of do this so I could empathize and share the story. I, like, did a weird, great – well, you know what it was, is I bought some hummus. And I got into that hummus at, like, 10 in the morning, and I ate little pieces of chicken and hummus and vegetables and hummus all day long, and it was just a mess. It was like – it was just ridiculous. It's like
I've had days like that, too, and almost – invariably, I didn't sleep well, and then I didn't have a big breakfast. I just, for some weird reason, something happened.
Isn't that
exactly. And so this person, I was a carb sweet eater as my main focus. I thought I had major psychological problems because I could never sustain compliance with the nutritional advice with calories in, calories out, which is actually wrong. I had a paradigm shift by reading Gary Taub's How We Get Fat, What to Do About It, which coincidentally I found right when I was starting your cleanse. The book plus your direct advice recipes has allowed me to do this. I have one question, which I know Peer Trainer continues to offer advice about, but my fear is that even this, as different as I feel from any other time to eat healthy and lose weight, I'm going to fall off the wagon in the near future. I'm panicked because it's a classic story, right? Even with this new paradigm, I heard two women in my weight management group therapy say how they've done this. They struggle to stay on it. They're still in my group trying to figure it out. So super excited about my experience with the cleanse. But when I heard that, I worry that even this is not sustainable. You know, basically she's asking, how am I going to stay? Is it possible for me to stay with this?
Of course it is. Now, you know what? Here's the big mindset shift. So what we've done, and again, you said this, Jackie, and you're so right. What changes this from thinking like a diet is because we say you can't eat this stuff for 3 weeks. It's just off the table.
Mm-hmm.
And in a diet, you always cheat, don't we?
Yeah.
I mean, I know I am not unique here, but you put me on something and say you can't have something, and it's like the minute you tell me I can't have something or can't do something or, you know, I'm like, ooh, you know, or I have to limit this. But when you know, hey, you're taking these things out for 3 weeks because we're going to test, we're detoxing, and we're going to test and see how you react to them. So you know you have to be off them because otherwise it won't work.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you 3 weeks to go, wow, I feel so much better, which she's already at. But then we're going to re-challenge, and you're going to see whether they work for you or not. When you find out that a lot of these things actually don't work for you, like most of the people that I see that go back to trying dairy go, wow, I feel like crap when I eat that.
Or I have a pimple, or I'm bloated. That's been a big thing. My belly, you know, pooches out literally 5 minutes after I'm finished eating.
Yeah. So I mean, once you notice that difference, it's a very different shift than going, oh, I'm just going to eat a little bit more today.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And also,
absolutely.
So I'm almost concerned about this group you're in. I read
that's
question,
I
Jackie.
Know.
That's,
I
when
know.
I read the question, I went, I'm not sure this group is helping you.
Mm-hmm.
That
because
was
you're
my
seeing,
feeling.
Yes, because your peers can be everything. Look at peer trainer. Look when you're in a group that's supportive and people are focused on what's working and how they can move through each day and get new ideas and you get inspired versus being in a group where people are like, I just still have these issues and these problems and I'm so upset. And it can almost snowball into something so much worse. I mean, many, many times you have to be very mindful of who's around you and their attitude.
Oh, sure.
And two people can bring a group down. I've watched it happen. Just as two really positive, incredible attitudes, sharing ideas can bring a group up. So, JJ, I'm glad you pointed that out.
Well, it was the thing that jumped out at me was I thought, you need to get in a new group. You need to get in a new group where it reminds me of my ex-mother-in-law was part of a divorce recovery group.
Uh-huh.
And she'll come, she wanted my ex-husband and I, when we were married, to come, hang out, we're having a barbecue. I swear to God, I was ready to slip my wrist. It was, so depressing. And I thought, how is this helping? It's like they're all mired in the past, and, who screwed them over, and what'd they do? I'm like, geez, wow.
Yes. Get me out of here. You're almost getting more mired. You're not necessarily sharing ideas of how you're going to sustain things. You're sharing ideas of, as the victim.
This is going to happen. You're already worried about failing. And I'm thinking, what if that question got taken off the table? Because, mm-hmm. Your mind's going to naturally go to the question you ask. So if your question is, how can I succeed at this?
Mm-hmm.
Work long term?
Mm-hmm.
You'll get a much better answer. And so that was what jumped out at me when I read this whole thing. Was new group.
Good point. I mean, how many times do you hear the quality of your life is dependent on the quality of your question? So it's a really low quality question of, what if I fail versus, how am I going to succeed today? How do I want to feel today? Because almost invariably, if I have a meeting, there's no way I would go get a slice of pizza because I know exactly how that's going to make me feel.
Right.
Versus how a salad's going to make me feel. So, JJ, that just excellent, excellent.
My big advice to you is I absolutely know you can do this and get yourself in support that you need to be able to do it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So the next question, and I'll do the history if you want because sometimes you want me to, but I was just going to jump into it. Can autoimmune disorders be healed through proper nutrition and gut function?
Okay, so autoimmune's genetic. You flip the switch or not, right? And so, it's funny because people can have the genes for autoimmune and never flip the switch. Now, can you heal something? If you've got damage from multiple sclerosis, can you undamage yourself? It depends whether you fried the egg or not, right? So it depends what the damage is. But there was an amazing TED talk by a woman with MS who actually went to the Institute for Functional Medicine and learned about diet with MS and nutrients. And she went from being in a wheelchair to walking and going back to her life. Right? So with autoimmune, it is amazing the information that's not out there with autoimmune. If you've got any risk at all, and I think we should all look at our ANA levels when we're born, and we should all look at genetic propensity towards, do we have the genes for autoimmune? If so, you would never touch gluten or dairy ever because those are the triggers. That plus stress is a trigger for autoimmune, right? And you'd have your vitamin D levels tested. Which everybody should anyway. You'd optimize vitamin D, you'd stay off gluten and dairy, and would make a massive, massive, massive difference. So whether you can heal the damage, it depends what kind of damage it was, but, it certainly is going to shut off it, continue going, right?
And my bilirubin, I don't know how to pronounce this, bilirubin count.
Oh, yeah, I have no clue on this one. Is my low bilirubin a sign? So here's what I would tell you on this one. That is my low bilirubin mean that I have low toxicity? Well, one of the things we see with high bilirubin in babies is that they're not functioning well, not eliminating their toxins. Okay. We're not babies, and so if you have a low level, does it mean that you have low toxic overload? I've never seen. I don't know where that came from. I would say no.
Okay.
Here's the challenge with: are you toxic? First off, if we went to the most pristine places in the world and looked at tested the water and the air, there's toxins. there is nowhere now in the world that there are not toxins, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just not possible.
Mm-hmm.
So that's sad truth number one. Number two, we all have toxins in a toxic, it's whether it's impacting our health and at what level it's impacting our health at this point, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So how do you know your toxic load? Well, you know, there's really, you can test for petrochemicals, you can test for PVCs, you can do a bunch of tests to look at all sorts of things, everything from heavy metals to organochemicals. But the challenge is you're never going to see everything because we don't even know how to look for everything at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So I almost think we're better off because I used to look at a lot of heavy metal tests, and I still will have someone go and get that tested if, like, we're really stuck with weight loss. But the problem is a lot of times it's not actually the mercury or the lead. It's, say, maybe the phthalates. I think we're better off just all assuming, hey, reduce the load, increase the excretion, and do that forever because you are going to be confronted by toxins daily.
Mm-hmm.
Just are. So I don't know.
And you talk about this really in depth in class, too. So next Monday you'll hear a lot more. You go pretty in depth with this.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, this is just the sad state that we're in is I mean, and why we focus so much on food is because food is, I think, our number one source of toxic exposure.
And the thing you can control the most. I mean, there are many people that aren't going to give up their deodorant. You're not going to, you're just not. Or
I won't give up mine. I tried, but then yeah, I feel like I'm toxifying everyone with my
I don't either. Just want to tell, ask the moderator if you could just tell everybody how they can get in the queue again. I was just passed a message that about the hair loss participant.
Of course, ladies and gentlemen, at this moment, if you do have a question, please hit *0. I'll collect your name and place you back onto the call. Again, that's *0. And we do have a few questions waiting.
Okay.
Great. So we will go right into them.
And by the way, if we don't get everything answered, because I see we still have a lot more questions,
yes,
we will have another one of these. So everybody just know one that we've been doing these once a month, right?
Yes. And we'll have another one as a follow. Usually it's great to have a Q&A after you've really gone through this a little bit and you have some of your questions answered because you're the lab and then you figure it out. So a lot of times we have a Q&A after people are sort of through this particular stage. But exactly, we'll have another one. And, yeah, let's move on to the live questions.
Okay, the next question comes from Cymbeline. Cymbeline, go ahead, please.
Hello.
I think I mispronounced your name. I killed it.
Hi. Hello?
Hello.
Hi. I was just wondering, I started the cleanse on Monday, but I didn't have any of the detox supplements. I just did the basic, and I got a rice protein, a rice pea protein blend, and the raw fiber blend. And I was just wondering what is necessary to actually detox. I have felt better, but I don't know if I'm actually detoxing because I haven't taken any of the detox support supplements. And
okay.
I've been looking at others at, like, health food stores, and they have some of the same things, but, you know, what do you recommend?
First off, please don't go to a health food store.
Are you in the United States, or are you calling from outside the United States?
Okay.
You're within the United States. Okay.
Here's what I would tell you with all that. The only reason we give off options is because we had to do it for the people internationally, and it just creates a pain. But honestly, you're not going to find anything at the price that we offer it at the health food store with this quality. It doesn't.
Right. I was just looking at them, and even the ones that are similar, they have the magnesium ferrate that you're talking about.
Yeah, that's where Walter Crinian, who is one of the top detox experts in the world, put these products together. You're not going to get that from a consumer brand and health food store.
Right.
So what I would tell you is this is, like, really good stuff and at incredible prices. So I really wouldn't waste the time and effort to try to I wouldn't even understand the rationale for trying to get it at health food store because you're not going to get it any cheaper. and you're not going to get as good. So it doesn't make
sense. So is there a way to basically upgrade to the the plus or whatever without –
We have that at shop.peertrainer.com, and you can absolutely upgrade. We'll point that to you, and especially at our help desk, they'll help you. They'll help direct you to any of this stuff, so it shouldn't be a problem at all.
I want to give you a couple more, though. What was your name again?
Symbline.
What a pretty name. Okay, so I want you to understand, too, though, right now what you're doing is fantastic. And when you say, I don't know if I'm detoxing yet. If you took, let's say that you start every day and you ate a bagel and you switched from a bagel to a pea rice shake, that's detoxifying. If you were having a soda every day and you switched to a glass of water, that's detoxifying. You see what I mean? So detox, what I tell people is detox is a continuum. And anytime you reduce your chronic exposure or do anything, which a lot of these things that we do initially are like, let's pull out things that are creating a toxic exposure for you. Then let's look at things that can help improve our body's ability to detoxify, everything from having the poops you can be proud of, sweating more, improving circulation, all of giving better nutrients, supporting good fat and protein digestion, all those things improve detoxification. And so, getting off to a great start by cutting out those things in your diet and adding the shake in, that's huge. That to me is like the most important thing of all. Then you start to add these things in, and it's great. But already the fact that you feel better makes me thrilled.
Well, I've done 2 shakes per day and then a meal where I've had a few snacks that are like vegetables or prunes. I ended up eating after my workout yesterday because I worked out really hard, so I had kind of an extra snack. So I'm like, I'm not sure, is that okay? But I generally have eaten pretty healthy and eat a lot of vegetables. I just was overeating, especially around the holidays. I got more sugar. So, like, I wouldn't start the day that badly, but I do feel much better having cut out dairy and bread and stuff.
Mm-hmm. And so, what I'll tell you, you're recording what you're eating, right?
Yeah.
Because one of the big mantras that I have is too much healthy food is not healthy. And for me, like, I don't eat crap, but I have to watch myself because, I find that as I really pulled out, because I really don't eat gluten, dairy, soy, corn, peanuts, very rarely eggs. They tend to react to me. I don't eat sugar. I don't eat artificial sweeteners. And so there really isn't a whole lot. I can get myself in trouble with almond butter, as anybody who's ever listened to me talk.
Right.
Like, my crap. Yeah. I literally can't bring it in the house. I mean, it's like I'll sit down with a spoon. But, and then I'm like going, okay, JJ, remember, too much healthy food's unhealthy, right? So that's where tracking really helps. And for you, what I would tell you, if you work out really hard, you could save one of those shakes for after your workout. So, you can have 3 meals and 1 good snack, which a great snack is like hummus and cut-up vegetables.
Yeah, well, I ended up having a banana and a couple slices of turkey and some coconut water.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost like a meal, because I was really hungry after. And I had had my shakes and I had a big salad before, but I was hungry like all day, and I don't know if I was supposed to make my shakes bigger or.
Well, just make sure. I make gonzo shakes, I will tell you. My shakes have coconut milk. They have I do a heaping scoop of chocolate Vegalite. I put in MediBulk, and I've been a big thing of chia seeds. And I put in, right now I'm going through blueberries. So, I mean, I do a big shake that I make so thick that I eat with a spoon and a bowl.
I have, I think it's Life Source, the recipe blend. It's the vanilla unsweetened, and it's a little less calories and the raw fiber. I don't know if it's exactly the same as the MetaBulk. I mean, it has a lot of like seed and seed powder and stuff in it. So I don't know if that makes a difference. If that,
You know, you want to get at least 20 grams of protein in, 25 probably better. So look at what your product's got there, and then bring the fat up. Coconut milk, just add some extra chia or flax.
And then do the coconut milk and the berries as well. And
so just kick that, and then I'm not that big of a fan of bananas. I prefer apples and berries. And make sure with your salad you're getting in like some lentils or garbanzo beans. You're getting in the healthy fat. You're getting enough clean, lean protein.
Mm-hmm. I had a little avocado and turkey and shrimp.
Okay.
Great.
And just you know, monitor it. And that's where writing down really helps, and monitor. I don't know if you're trying to lose fat or not. Are you?
Yeah, because I was really thin, but then I've gained it in the last few months. So, yeah, I am trying to lose some fat.
Okay, so then let's ping the banana. If you're a really athletic person and you're not trying to lose weight, okay. But if you are, then let's ping them and go for the lower glycemic fruits. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then just monitor it. And if you're eating healthy fats and protein, lots of fiber, appetite should really settle down here. Green tea in between meals, up your fiber mm-hmm. with your meals. Keep bringing that up, but titrate it up and see how you feel.
Okay. And just one more question. If I do work out, like, later in the day and I do work out hard, I always heard you're supposed to refuel within 20 to 30 minutes after you work out, and what if I've already eaten my three meals? Like, how?
What time are you working out?
I took classes that went till 8:30.
Ooh, do you have to do it that way?
Yeah, my day was full until the evening.
Okay.
So, I mean, I couldn't probably do something in the morning if I get up earlier, but.
Yeah, it's never ideal to do it later at night because it can be more stimulating, but, you know, hey, the best time to work out is when you will. I'd almost say to you that you might be better off kind of thinking about four meals instead of three, which still is the same amount of calories, but mm-hmm. what I would probably do is something more like, you know, a shake for breakfast and then mm-hmm. the vegetable protein healthy fat split like lunch and late afternoon and then a shake after your workout.
Okay.
And that's probably the way I would split it. So it's still factoring it all in, but with the way mm-hmm. you're working out, it's going to be a better way to do it. And it's really, there's a 60-minute window in there. The sooner, the better. It's like a door slowly shutting.
Right.
With protein and carbohydrate being the way that you really want to focus.
Uh-huh.
So it sounds like, so shakes always my favorite for that.
Okay. Yeah, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And we have the next live call. I believe there's another one.
Yes, the next question comes from Laurel. Laurel, go ahead, please.
Hi, this is Laurel. I'm from Pittsburgh. And can you guys hear me?
Yep.
Yeah,
okay.
Nice to meet you.
Thanks. You guys have been really helpful, and I'm not sure if you answered my question in the prior question, but I'm on day three of the cleanse, and I've been doing really well. Today I had a lunch that I had to attend, and it was kind of, I didn't plan in advance. I didn't bring anything along, and I knew that this wasn't, like, the greatest restaurant, but I was able to order a salad with, and, of course, I asked if they had spinach. They did not. I had romaine lettuce, and it also had iceberg, which is totally, I know, non-nutritional, and then I had turkey, roasted turkey, and some, like, other few vegetables. I even noticed, like, the carrots were not, they weren't organic. It was funny. I could tell the taste. So I ate it. I put lemon and a little bit of olive oil on it. And then I came home to get this. I did some other stuff, and I came home to do this call. And I was, like, starving, and I was listening to you, and I thought, I have to eat something. So I had, like, all these roasted veggies from left over from dinner last night, and a lot of them are starchy veggies. And I know you're saying, like, have the shake in the morning, then wait 4 to 6 hours for your next meal. And I'm thinking, did I mess that up because, you know, I ate and then 2 hours later.
Tell me, first of all, here's the thing, Laurel.
Yes.
You do the best you can in the situation you're in, which it sounds like you did. So first of all, yay for you. Congratulations. Okay? Because that's what, I mean, we're really good at kicking our own butts.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. Tell me about it.
You know, so it sounds like you probably just didn't get enough to eat at lunch. And I got to tell you, like, if I go to eat lunch, I always need, what I tell people when they live by the plate is get that clean, lean protein in, get some healthy fats, get a load of vegetables and a little bit of a high fiber, starchy carb. And I so often notice that if I miss that little bit of a high fiber, starchy carb, I'm just like, oh, like missing something.
Right.
So that's probably what happened at lunch. So coming back home and eating more vegetables and a little bit of a high fiber starchy vegetable was probably the perfect solution.
Oh, good.
Okay. It's not, nothing. The big thing here is to really keep the gluten, corn, soy, peanuts, eggs, and dairy out during this time period.
Correct. Yes.
That's critical. And if you know, if you're starving, hey, if you're starving, eat.
Okay.
And always look back if you're starving as to, because to me, if someone's starving a couple hours after eating, their last meal wasn't adequate. Something's
right.
missing. And so
right.
probably there wasn't enough protein in that meal. There weren't any high fiber starchy carbs. And so, yeah, you were hungry.
Right. And that's what, that's what I thought. First of all, I didn't like the turkey. It didn't taste right. So I'm thinking, I'm blowing it here. It's not organic turkey. And so it just was.
You know, don't say you weren't blowing it.
Okay,
you just
I wasn't blowing it.
You were stuck, and you made
okay.
the best choice you could under the situation.
Okay. That's a better way to frame it.
You're going for the B plus. I mean, you,
right.
you really so much of the time you get stuck and you end up beating yourself up, and there was
yeah,
really
you just
nothing
have to
you
do
could
the
do.
Best you could do. You
right,
know,
right.
Knowing it would have been having a bang. Screw it. There's nothing here to eat. I'm having the lasagna.
Right, right. It's just
yeah.
you're right. It's that would be totally non-productive. one other question. I was going to have some tea yesterday, and I was at a person's house, and I went and I was reading the tea bags, and one of them had soy lecithin in them. Is that like, is that in everything? And why is it in tea?
I had no idea. Now I'm going to go look at my tea bags. Okay, so soy lecithin is not something you need to worry about.
Oh, it is not? Okay.
No, you'll see it in a lot of supplements. Unfortunately, it depends on how it's processed. Like,
okay.
I know when it's in thorn supplements, it actually comes from non-GMO soy. The way
oh.
it's processed didn't become a trans fat, so it's okay. But I'm looking at my...
I thought we had to remove all soy. That's why
so soy. The reason we don't have to worry about soy lecithin is because it's not the soy protein. It's
okay.
It's fat. It's just
I gotcha.
Like you could use ghee because
okay.
it's clarified butter, so it doesn't
oh.
have the milk protein solids in it.
Got you. Okay, that
and
makes sense. It was actually some form of stash tea.
Weird.
I
that's
know.
Amazing.
I know.
I can't
and
figure out why they'd need it in there.
I don't know either, but that's why I'm glad you distinguished between soy lecithin and soy protein because I wasn't really clear on that. So, but. Now, you've been very, very helpful. I know I had like 1,000 questions before, and I can't really think of them.
And now they've flipped out of your brain.
Right, of course. So you should let someone else go, but thank you.
You're welcome.
Great. Well, thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Okay, next question.
Okay, the next question comes from Barbara. Barbara, go ahead, please.
Hi. I'm a hair loss person.
Okay.
Oh, good. Oh, glad you made it.
Yeah, I couldn't remember what to punch on the phone. So,
okay, so what was your diet like before you went on the Furman diet?
Before I went on the Furman diet, I'd have to say it was just your standard American diet, you know, just the sad diet. I ate meat and refined carbs and, you know, probably unhealthy.
Okay.
And then I was on. Then I went more vegetarian when I was listening more to Dr. Furman, and you know wasn't eating that much protein, but animal protein. But I was eating a lot of vegetables, and as I recall, this was actually in like 3 years ago. So I'm trying to think back.
And when did you notice your hair falling out?
Well, I'm not sure how long it was after I started Dr. Furman's program. I guess I'm going to guess several months, maybe a year. I'm not sure.
Is there anything else that, because a whole year after the fact, it would be tough to say, okay, it was what you changed in Dr. Furman's program. You know what I mean?
Yeah, unless it was like long-term not getting enough protein or something. I really am not sure how long it was, but I do know it was a pretty stressful time, and I know I've read that can make your hair fall out too.
Yeah, that definitely can make your hair fall out. It's huge for making hair fall out. That's why, you know, and I guess it comes from this long-standing, someone will go on a supplement and call me and go, I feel terrible from the supplements, and 3 days later they've had the flu. You know what I mean? So it's kind of challenging because it's never like you did one thing in isolation.
Right.
Big things that, I mean, definitely nutrient deficiencies, a low-protein diet, you know, those types of things, especially a vegetarian diet, low-protein, not enough B vitamins and stuff, could exacerbate hair loss. However, going into menopause, low thyroid function, which happens very classically around that time, reduced iodine in diet due to that shift in your diet, and stress could all play a role there too. So I don't know, like if all of a sudden you went into a very stressful time and that's going to shift your hormone cascade, that could absolutely do it.
Yeah, well, the stress has been pretty ongoing, just really long work hours, and it, which is still going on, but at least I don't still find hair in the shower. It's just, you know, in my brush. But
so the things that I would tell you are try seeing what happens as you increase protein intake in your diet and taking enzymes. And again, you got to get that 3 months. The biggest thing, though, that I would do, I would go get a total iron panel and look at ferritin. Are you menopausal, postmenopausal? Where are you and all that?
Post.
Okay. Well, go get those levels done and see where you're at with that. But I would check my thyroid function. That's the biggest thing I would look at, because that would be the most classic of everything that I've heard. What I would most likely point to is thyroid.
Well, you know, I talked to my doctor about, Joel, should I get my thyroid checked? And he's like, no, you don't have any of the symptoms.
You have hair loss.
Okay, so that's a symptom. Okay.
Sure.
Okay.
That's a huge symptom of thyroid problems. Do you have elevated LDL cholesterol?
No. As a matter of fact, well, let's see. How was it? No. No, it wasn't.
Okay, so let me just ask you a couple. Any problems with fatigue?
Not really.
Brittle fingernails?
Yes.
Dry skin?
Not really. I've always had oily skin.
Okay.
But my scalp, I had a few itchy places on my scalp. But
okay, so let me just go through some of them just for everybody on the line, some classic thyroid issues. And then, actually, Jackie, you have to be on another one at 1:30. I hate to tell you this. But
I know. We'll keep them for the next Q&A. Okay, we'll schedule it and get it out.
But I think this is important for everybody to hear, because you know what? I totally disagree with that, doctor. You need to run a thyroid panel, because you already have two ones you've described to me. And I want everyone to understand what you should run for a thyroid panel. And then, again, I'm going to say, Jackie, we might want to get Dr. Alan Christensen on the line to talk about thyroid health, because one of the things that really can screw up your thyroid is stress. And women are so much more likely to have thyroid disorders than men. One of the challenges is due to poor iodine status in our diet. So fatigue, sluggishness, increased sensitivity to cold, constipation, pale dry skin, puffy face, hoarse voice, elevated blood cholesterol level, unexplained weight gain or difficulty losing weight, muscle aches, tenderness and stiffness, slightly yellow tinge to the skin if you're eating a lot of beta-carotene-rich vegetables, loss of the outer third of your eyebrows, pain, stiffness, swelling in your joints, muscle weakness, heavier than normal menstrual periods if you're still menstruating, brittle fingernails and hair loss, depression, mood swingy. And what you'd want to look at is you make sure your doctor orders all of these and don't let them push you around. Get a thyroid-stimulating hormone. Get a free T3 and T4. Make sure you get the free T3 because stress.
Hang on, I'm writing that down. What was that again?
TSH, free T3 and T4.
Free T3 and free T4.
And tell them you want a full thyroid panel, including a free T3. And then depending on what that looks like, you might want to do thyroid antibodies. Thyroid disorder is way more common than anybody realizes. My buddy, Dr. Alan Christensen, wrote The Idiot's Guide to Thyroid Disease. Anytime I see any of those symptoms, I'm sending people in. I catch it all the time.
Okay.
And then don't go with the norms that the doctor says. Look for a TSH between 0.5 and 2 is optimal, not outside of that range. But with hair loss, it's the first place to look. It is the first place you should be looking.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you for that.
And you need a doctor who understands the role, how stress, your adrenal glands, and your thyroid play together, because they are intertwined. And so if your doctor doesn't get that, you need to get a new doctor. Where are you located?
North Carolina.
North Carolina. Which part?
Piedmont, Salisbury.
I've got some very cool doctors up there. In fact, I got to remember, will you remind me, Jackie, about Jade and Keone Tita to get them into your referral network?
Yes.
Okay, cool. We're working on a great referral network so that you guys are covered. But also, I do have a doctor who will do a phone consult, and then you can get that information to your other doctor, because sometimes it's hard to get, you know, this is, thyroid's way more complicated than people realize.
Right. Well, how can I get the names of those doctors again?
We'll be putting them out in a doctor referral network through Peer Trainer and through a couple things. So we'll be sure to follow up with you.
Okay, that would be great. Thank you so much.
Okay, great. Well, I think we're going to wrap up this Q&A. Do we have anybody that's been waiting on the line, though, for, you know, this entire hour and a half?
At this moment, there are no further questions.
Oh, good. Okay. So we will announce the next Q&A. Don't worry. If you sent in your question, we have them all organized. We just were not, unfortunately, able to get to them in this hour and a half. And we'll also be talking about a couple of the things that we said, how you can upgrade, how you can get a couple things that JJ mentioned. And we'll also just be sure to send out, you know, the information of when the next Q&A is. And if you have more questions, you can get them in. But we certainly have a lot of them in the queue. JJ, have a great day. Thanks. That was
Thank you.
It's always so informative. I learn half the time as well. So thank you. And we'll see you next time.
All righty. So okay. Email me and we'll find a date, honey.
Sounds good.
All right.
Bye. Have a good day. Bye.